Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, this is the Soundcheck Podcast. We're enjoying our remote soundcheck sessions, but it's nice to occasionally dip into the archives and hear what they sounded like when people actually came live into our studio. It's a little audio time travel from the Soundcheck archives. I do not care to know what's happening outside this room. You drink your tea and I will sit here stony-eyed. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Quiet Hollers is the name of this band out of Louisville, Kentucky. Their debut album, I Am the Morning, came out in 2013 and was built around a stylish blend of Americana and indie rock, with a strong literate storytelling component. Now they've released their second record, otherwise untitled, and the storytelling is stronger and stranger than ever. Let's start with their song Aviator Shades. It's Quiet Hollers, live on Soundcheck. One, two, three, four. Song is called Aviator Shades. That's the band Quiet Hollers from Kentucky here in our New York studio on this edition of the Soundcheck podcast. Chadwick Wild is the lead vocalist and playing the electric guitar. You heard Jim Bob Brown playing the acoustic guitar, although he'll be switching to piano shortly. Aaron West on violin, he'll be picking up the guitar later. Ryan Scott playing the six-string electric bass. And Nick Goldring behind our drum kit. Chadwick, to you and the rest of the boys, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us, man. We're big fans.
So there is a video on our website of this song, Aviator Shades.
Yeah, it just came out.
And it's you guys performing the song in what looks like an unfinished space. You can see spackle, you know, on the walls.
It's one of those like art collective kind of places.
Well, that's, yeah, because there are a couple of big empty frames hanging from the ceiling and a big, big portrait of a guitar with wings.
That would be Jim Bob. That's the chicken guitar that you're referring to. It's a guitar with like sad, droopy chicken wings, and a kind of the bridge is a frowny face. It's a doodle that I made on a bar napkin when I worked as a bartender.
Really? And then Jim Bob sort of blew it up into an objet
d'art. Du beau français.
That's about as far as it goes.
Yeah, me too.
Plus, I can order a beer.
Une bière, s'il vous plaît. It was everything in that video was an afterthought. You know, we showed up, we had a vague idea what we wanted to do. We said, whoa, some picture frames. There was the really super cheesy swinging overhead light. We're like, yes, we need that. And the spray paint that we did, you know, 10 minutes before we started filming.
Mm-hmm.
But it all worked out.
It did work out, and again, you can see it on the website, the song Aviator Shades. So the album is called Quiet Hollers, same as the band.
Yeah.
A holler can be a yell, but it's also like Appalachian slang for a valley.
Topographical
feature, a hollow.
Yes.
So is the name, in addition to being an oxymoron, like thundering silence, it's also kind of a nod to Kentucky roots, maybe?
Yeah. Our former guitar player's girlfriend came up with it.
Oh, okay. You know, on your website, it says that this is a semi-accidental band. I'm not sure what that means.
Well, neither are we.
Okay.
I put out this solo record in 2010. It was the first thing I had done that was outside of the hardcore punk genre.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking for a band to put together to just play the CD release party so that I could have the legitimacy of a band and all that. And it became less of a solo thing.
Yeah. And how did you get from the kind of hardcore punk scene into this? What occasioned that left turn?
So, depression and alcoholism. My first band had kind of dissolved. It was a punk band in Kentucky called Straight Laced, and that had dissolved, and I was sort of just floating around. And we did a tour with a band called The Great Depression from Cincinnati. They were a duo, and they're actually both respectively doing their own thing now, but they were hugely influential on just what I thought about when I thought about creating music. And like, what am I doing with my life? Am I going to play guitar in someone else's band and just stay drunk for 10 years? And as long as it can stay unridiculous, and I started writing, and it turned into that genre.
Well, writing, we've seen there are lots of memoirs now of people who've gone through that kind of dark place. And so
and come out country.
Yeah, they come out country. So the storytelling in this band, you know, it seems like they're not necessarily personal, you know, autobiographical stories, although they tend to be sort of character-driven, it seems.
I try to do that. Some of them are like over-the-top autobiographical.
Really?
But I try to take whatever that the sense or the feeling that sort of sparked the inspiration to write the song, and then imagine that is just what it's like for me as the narrator all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you take Mont Blanc, for example,
You'll do for us in a little bit.
My wife and I moved to my family's farm a couple of years ago. It's like this really rustic, you know, rundown kind of a place, and it was intensely inspirational just to live there and be, you know, near the city, but in a place that's, you know, idyllic and pastoral. And of course, when a writer moves to a place like that, some things happen. But I was imagining, you know, what it would be like if we still lived there and the whole rest of the world went to shit.
Yeah.
So that character takes this one random thought about gardening, turns it into a...
Well, yeah, and as we'll hear, it turns into something very dark. But that's coming up a little later. The song you're going to do next, Côte d'Azur, have you been to the south of France? Have you been to the Gold Coast?
I have driven through it.
Really?
As I say in the song. my father and I recently reconnected after about 10 years of not having been in each other's lives. And the way that he's Dutch, he's from Holland, and the way that we reconnected was my wife and I and his wife and he and his two teenage daughters, my sisters, who I'm now friends with, took a vacation across Europe. We basically tagged along on their vacation, and we were driving to somewhere in Italy, and we were driving down this coastal highway that lines the Côte d'Azur, and it's gorgeous. It's cliche gorgeous. You know, it's like the what you think of when you think of a beach resort. And we were sitting there in traffic looking at this beach for literally 7 hours.
Well, that will take the shine off the cliche pretty quickly, I would think, being stuck in traffic. Isn't that beautiful? Is that still beautiful?
That's not beautiful anymore.
It's
like shit to me now.
So you want to do the song for us?
Yeah.
All right. The song's called Côte d'Azur. It's the band Quiet Hollers, live on Soundcheck.
Sirens
Once again, the band Quiet Hollers, live on Soundcheck with the song Côte d'Azur. You'll find it on their new album, also called Quiet Hollers. So, Chadwick, that song inspired by your actual trip on a highway in the south of France, presumably with less gunplay, I hope?
Yes, quite a bit.
So, you know, if you look at some of the titles of the songs on this record, you have, you know, Liar Song, Flood Song, Summer Song. I mean, titles like that, you could just as easily substitute story for song, it seems. Is that the driving force behind a song, or is it you
story?
As opposed to fiddling around on the guitar and hitting a, hey, that chord sequence sounds nice. Let me write.
Yeah. The way that I write is, it's not imperative that I tell a story, but I like for there to be something that the listener can kind of make up themselves.
Yeah.
Not to explain it all and to, you know, be so literal about it, but to let the listener kind of take what I'm putting out there and make their own thing out of it. And usually that it means that it will be a story of some kind. Of course, it'll be a different story depending on who's listening to it.
Right. I mean, for me, Côte d'Azur, you know, that sounds like, you know, maybe the guy's an assassin or a spy of some kind.
Yeah,
you know,
like a hitman.
And he's leaving the scene and he hears the sirens behind him and all that kind of. I mean, you know, it's got a very strong sense of narrative to it. Some of the others, as you say, leave more room for us, the listeners, to get in there and kind of make what we will of them. You also have this really unusual kind of palette to work with. You know, you've got a rock band with violin and piano and stuff. So how do you make decisions on who makes those decisions on how to deploy and arrange the instruments?
Well, we all do to a certain extent. I usually will come and I'll have the skeleton of the song, and then we'll sort of, you know, we'll try every different kind of arrangement that pops into our heads until the one that jumps out is, and it's usually pretty obvious when it does too. We all have a similar sensibility when it comes to, you know, how to present our respective instruments in a song.
Right. So you write, once you have pen to paper, do you write on the guitar? Is that basically how the songs
happen? I write on the guitar, or I just, you know, there's a GarageBand app that you can just, there's chords, you know, chord right there.
The reason I ask is I'm no longer surprised to see lefty guitarists in this studio, but I am surprised to watch you because you play all wrong.
I do. It's a nightmare. No, I play upside down and backwards with the low string on the bottom to drop D, always drop D.
And so your kind of chord formations are completely alien to anyone who plays quote-unquote normal guitar.
Right, including my bandmates.
Including your bandmates.
It's Jim Bob over there. Yeah. Sorry, buddy. But yeah, I mean, I taught myself to play. It's just, you know, with the drop D, it makes hitting the normal chords a lot easier for me.
Okay.
And it's just, you know, like I said before, that by the time I figured out I was doing it wrong, it was too late to go back and learn too much.
Now, the story you tell in this next song, Mont Blanc, you mentioned this before, you know, inspired by moving to this idyllic farm outside of Louisville and then wondering what would it be like if this is all that was left.
Right. I'm a big fan of post-apocalyptic sort of, you know, culture and
well, you know,
in
and
general.
In a funny kind of way, this is a very old-fashioned post-apocalypse song because there are no zombies.
Right. I think this is a little cheesy. The thing about a nuclear is it's like, you know, that could happen.
That could happen.
It's a lot scarier, I think, because it's real.
So what is this with like at least three different zombie shows on TV
right
now?
Yeah. I'm hoping that one of them will ignore the fact that this is not a zombie apocalypse song and pick it up and put it in their TV shows. Anybody out there in TV land listening?
So this is apocalypse, but not zombie apocalypse, and it is...
Oh, I wish we hadn't given it away, too. It's more fun when you don't know what's coming.
Well, yeah, I guess. Although, you know, once you get to the end of each verse, it's pretty apparent what's going on. But yes, I love the fact that it begins with farming, a failed attempt at farming, and then quickly turns far darker. It reminds me a little bit of The Road, the Cormac McCarthy.
Yes, absolutely.
Big fan?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the movie?
I did, and I really loved it.
Okay.
I did. I loved the book, and then I loved the movie. Of course it wasn't exactly the same.
I loved the book, and I was like, there is no way I'm sitting through a movie of this. Was it worth it?
Yes.
Okay.
Vigo,
All right.
He's so intense, man. Right. It was really well done.
Yeah.
It was really the starkness of it.
I was kind of afraid it would be well done, and I wouldn't be able to. I mean, the book is, that's a tough slog.
Yeah, even for Cormac McCarthy.
Yes. All right, so, well, that explains a certain shadow cast over this
Children
song.
Children of Man, I was a big fan of, too.
Yeah, that
was
a great,
really amazing film.
A great film and a great story.
I haven't read the story.
And Mont Blanc, that's another place in the south of France, isn't it?
No, it's a mountain in France, but in this case it refers to the pen. The Mont Blanc $700 ink pen. The character of this song is a writer, and he's very fond of his possessions.
Okay. Let's hear the song. The band is Quiet Hollers. They're performing for us today here in the Soundcheck studio. This is Mont Blanc from their otherwise untitled new album.
I know I planted those seeds down too deep. You'll die and never see the sun. My fault for that one. See, I was a city boy before. No excuses anymore. Try to learn to keep us fed. Shed a tear for the books I should have read. I'd seen all the warning signs on the TV and the Times, but I hated you to hold at night, and so it took me by surprise. We had so many things back then. I had a silver Mont Blanc pen, and I'd write for hours about nothing that makes any difference now. And I used to worry what clothes I had. School recitals and the manicured lawns. I had a laundry list of people I could count on if it all went wrong. And then the ball. Now I take precautions for my peace of mind. I don't know what difference it might make to hang on any longer, but I cut the tree across the drive. Spend the daylight hours inside, trying to make the place look empty so as no one comes around. Saw them again last night, those same distant headlights sweeping back and forth across the empty shelves of the summer homes. And if the bastards ever come, promise me you take the kids and run. Well, I may be weak and I may be frail, but I can throw them off your trail. And I used to worry what clothes I had. School recitals and the manicured lawns. And I had a laundry list of people I could count on if it all went wrong. Said I used to worry what clothes I had on. The school recitals and the manicured lawns.
and then the bar. Oh, the bar. Shed a tear for the books I should have read.
Song's called Mont Blanc. It's music from Quiet Hollers, the Louisville, Kentucky band here live on Soundcheck in our New York studio. The new album, also called Quiet Hollers, contains that song and the other songs that the band's been playing for us. Once again, Chadwick Wild on vocals and guitar, Jim Bob Brown at our piano, Ryan Scott playing the bass, Aaron West playing the violin, looping it towards the end of that song there, and Nick Goldring behind our drum kit. So, Chadwick, you said before that making the switch from the hardcore scene to this was occasioned by dealing with depression and alcoholism. How has this worked out for you?
It's been pretty good.
Yeah? So, getting into that kind of writing process, did that do for you what it did for, you know, so many of the memoirists that we were talking about?
Yeah, I mean, of course it's therapeutic. It's cathartic. You know, there's a lot less posturing, I guess, you know? And it's so completely like now as opposed to then. It's just so much more about just like it's about the music, and it's not about all of the accoutrement, you know.
But you guys, I mean, you are true indie rockers in that you release this album yourselves.
Yeah,
there's no label.
I love that we, you know, are able to work together to make stuff like this album happen. You know, just five dudes who like grew up playing in punk bands. And, you know, of course it would be nice to have the kind of bankroll that some bands have and to be able to make some moves. But, you know, we get by, doing what we do and learning as we go. And, you know, things have been developing for us a lot lately, because of the amount of hours and sweat equity that we put into it.
Yeah, but that...
So it would take something real special to make us let go of that, I guess. Yeah. You know?
But of course, none of that happens if the songs aren't good. And this is a really terrific record,
Thank you, John.
Quiet Hollers is the name of it. It's also the name of the band. Chadwick, to you and the rest of the gang, thank you so much for coming in
thank
and playing for
me.
Us
Big
today.
Fan.
Thank you.
All the drunks under the freeway, waiting for some flood to come around. And it's so hard to keep my head above water. Sometimes I just wanna let go and drown.
That soundcheck session came from our archives. You can hear lots more and check out our newly produced remote sessions on our website, newsounds.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell, our producer, Karen Havlick, and I'm John Schaefer.
That you never get caught in.